his three seats go, I mean, is this one of the better three seats from the standpoint that you've got some familiarity and you've had some success against the number one and the number two?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the best three seat. I mean, I think once we got in the tournament, the seats didn't matter. And really, two and three don't matter. One and four might matter a little bit, but two and three don't matter at all in my way of thinking. We're playing a team that we have knowledge of and have played, but the bottom line is we know they're pretty good, and it doesn't matter where Middle Tennessee State is playing, whether it's a Sun Belt or SEC, that they're in this tournament regardless because they can play, and they've got very, very good players, and they have two premium players that would be a three- and four-hole hitter on most SEC teams.
Talking to your players, they consider themselves underdogs in this regional. Middle obviously considers themselves underdogs. Is this going to be a
No, I'm not going to frame it anyway. I'm just going to frame it as if we're thankful we're in the tournament. We deserve to be in the tournament because we're one of the best 64 teams in the country. And I just feel like our body of work through the year has established ourselves as one of those better teams. So I'm not going to frame it that way. I mean, they've heard me try to mess with their mind enough. And quite honestly, those 25 guys have better test scores and grades than I ever did, so I can't fool them anymore. They're smarter than I am.
Yesterday, you sort of alluded to in the post-game press conference that you weren't sure how it was all going to play out today.
Mm-hmm.
You got the call today. Just talk about that.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure. I mean, I think I was more anxious going into the tournament, but I did frame the tournament as what we needed to do, what we needed to win, because we... Not because of regional. I just talked about the tournament, what it meant for Vanderbilt and the success we had. I mean, we're 14-5 in the last four tries going to that tournament, and I just felt like this is our tournament. You know, it's like, you know, a birthday without having the cake. I mean, Vanderbilt's got to be a part of that, and I've always felt like we played well there. The venue's much like ours, pitching and defense plays. We didn't have to worry about a small ballpark and balls that were well pitched, being hit out of the park. I mean, we earned our home runs because they were struck well. We played defense. 34 innings, two errors. I mean, you know, and the errors we had were yesterday, and they were errors that, you know, a ball that snuck through the infield on a stolen base and a ball that was errantly thrown on a pick. But, you know, I can't be prouder of really how we played. Now, I told the team after and at the moment that, you know, I think for them, I was sick and tired of grabbing the silver medal. Silver medals stink. I mean, finishing second stinks. I don't care how you look at it. It's just second place. And, you know, we finished one time in 2007, but we couldn't finish the job in the regional. So we've been a team that is really, really good at silver medals. And I said at some point, you know, in this program, we're going to have to take a northern approach to a gold medal. And I said, when that time comes, is anyone's guess. But I said, you can think it's now. If you play well enough and you visualize it.
Expectations coming in for prior team for the past couple of teams have been pretty high. This year maybe not as much to make the tournament. That still has to make it, if we're still playing postseason baseball here, a pretty good accomplishment.
Well, it depends whose expectations you're talking about. I mean, inner team expectations are a lot different than maybe the common public because it doesn't really matter what, you know, Riley Reynolds is being a freshman and Jason Esposito being a freshman. They already know in that classroom since August 18th what they were trying to do and how you were trying to approach this. And, you know, we talked about the lumps that were going to occur during the course of the season, and I said, we just got to get through them. And I told them, I said, you young guys, don't get discouraged by your talent level hitting rock bottom at times because the league will do that to you. You know, if you're a kid from Connecticut or you're a kid from Minnesota that's broken Joe Mauer's record, Rich Poitras doesn't give a damn about that. I mean, no other team cares about that. They're going to minimize his abilities at some point. What a freshman can't do is they can't get deluded by it and shocked by it and think that, wow, I'm not a good baseball player. The league's going to do that to you. This is a man's league, and you got to survive it.
Feel pretty good about this team's confidence level coming off of the performance in the SEC going into
I think the confidence level is pretty good. I mean, they played well. You got to hand it to them. They played pretty well in four games. You know, they only lost one. You know, we didn't get double eliminated. So, you know, we got to the final game. We just lost one game. We lost it to what I feel, at least from what I've seen regionally, the best team in the country, and a team that was packed with Omaha kids that had been there, And you're looking at a bunch of wide-eyed young kids who, even the Brian Harris's of the world and the Casalis of the world and the Westlakes in the world, they'd never played before. You know, they watched that stuff last year, but they weren't on Birmingham's field. So to do what we've done and to come out of it smelling okay, I think that their confidence is pretty good. And my job was to try to continue that ball, if I could. You know, and now the emotions of the loss, right after the loss, I tell them, you know, the way it is. I mean, but you know what? It was very quiet on the bus on the way home, and even when we stopped to eat, we got back on the bus. It was really, really quiet until, you know, last night when we sat down and talked. Once we got back in here, and we just kind of framed what our approach was going to be for the rest of the week. God willing, we were in the tournament. But at that point, I kind of knew it.
Why did you know? I mean, just thought you needed a couple wins down there.
Yeah, I thought. Getting three games and, you know, going 16-12 against the field of 64, going 3-2 versus the top eight teams, the top eight seeds, winning some good games on the road. I mean, hell, we weren't good at all at home. You know, we might as well just take our bus and just play on the road, for crying out loud. We just this didn't do us any good here, and maybe because we had to pull the damn tarp so many times. I don't know. We're good damn tarp pullers, I'll tell you that. But, I didn't see playing at home did us any favors. I mean, we played pretty well on the road, and frankly, we enjoyed it. Now, I hope that helps us out.
Tim, familiarity with that venue, having been up there once before, does that help you at all? And how do you feel about how that park plays and what your strengths are?
I like the way that park plays. I mean, it's decent-sized park. You have to strike a ball to get it out of there. The turf plays slow. If the balls die because of the bunt, the balls die. So but it plays true. You're not going to get any bad hops in the grill. But you just got to be aggressive on the turf. But going back to your question, yeah, I like the fact that we've played on it, because the only time that we've played on that turf before is over on the football field. And we have taken a lot of ground balls out there, you know, when we've had poor weather. But I think it's good. We've seen it and know it. And that's helpful. That's helpful. I think the kids were fired up about that, to be honest with you. I didn't ask them, but, well...
You were very complimentary of Brent's after having played him a couple times. What is it that sets that kid apart?
Well, I feel the same way, and I'm not saying that just because we've got to play him this week. You know, Pete obviously recommended him for Team USA, and I called Team USA too, and I said, you know, just to act upon Steve Peterson's endorsement of his player, he's the best hitter we've seen, and he was. I mean, he just... And I say he was, just because we played him two times. I just think he hit everything. He's got tremendous bat speed. He's strong. He reads pitches. He's a bad ball hitter. He hits balls with backspin. I mean, he hits balls kind of like Pedro-esque, in which they start out, and you think they're fly balls, and the next thing you know, they're over the fence. And to me, and that's a true, true power hitter. I like Raleigh Bishop along the same lines. I mean, Raleigh maybe... not as much as Brent's, because Brent's his numbers, but Raleigh Bishop, to me, is, you know, I take Raleigh Bishop today. I mean, he's a tremendous player. He's a great defender. He can hit, and he plays the game slowly. He plays the game under control. So they've got two premium players, and it's a SEC ball club. It's an SEC ball club.
Is there a difference in now playing them in sort of a weekend format as compared to a midweek?
We'll see. I hope it's different than when we went down there, because we got spanked. So I hope it's different. The difference will be the starting pitching. You know, it's just you got two different starting pitchers that one will pitch against them and vice versa that we haven't seen. So I think from that standpoint, it'll make it different. And it's a tournament format, you know, and who handles the tournament best is will do okay. But, you know, Pete and his clubs, they've been to regionals more than Vanderbilt has, you know, in baseball history. I mean, so it's not like we got this damn thing figured out. We're trying to figure it out, but we don't.
Do you get a sense too that they got a boost from the new park this year, similar to what your program did when you got this place together?
Yeah, maybe they did. I mean, that's a beautiful place, well deserved for Pete, obviously, because he's been there so long, and I think they did. And I think there was a lot of things to rally around there. I mean, you know, for the ballpark, for Pete, for Jim. Jim McGuire's been, you know, been through some tough times with his wife. And, you know, they're good people. You just, you know, obviously, and I sit on a committee with Pete, you know, we'll both be in Omaha together regardless, so I just like him a lot, and gotten to know him the more I've been here, and he's just a source of wisdom and experience, and I can see why he has so much so much success, because even when he talks to me, I mean, you know, I pay attention to what he says and listen to what he says, and obviously his kids do. But he's just a good man. He's in it for the right reasons.
Tim, the NCAA tournament committees have kind of shown some maybe sense of humor, maybe some tongue-in-cheek or a sense for rivalries, that kind of thing, in basketball in particular.
Sure.
Were you surprised with this matchup?
No, because of the regionalization. I just think that because of the economic time and the fact that they didn't want many people to fly, they wanted everyone to drive, and they wanted to keep everything within a 400-mile radius. So it was easy for us. I thought we'd either see Western Kentucky, Tennessee Tech. I thought we'd be Georgia Tech, Louisville bound for sure. Now, there are some teams where they can't regionalize everyone, so they'll send Virginia out to see Strasburg, you know, holy cow, you know, at Irvine. So that... You know, no one wants to draw that card right away. You know, you won't play San Diego State on the second day. But that, I think, regionalization impacts more. I think the RPI, more so in baseball, unlike basketball, is completely thrown out the window. It, you know, you look at Miami, look at where Florida is, they're a national seed, and they send Miami an 11 RPI there. That just wouldn't make any sense. Look at the body of work that Irvine has and the three teams that they've got to play. So it all comes down to regionalization and what's cheaper for where it's cheaper for you to go to.
After you guys were defeated by Middle earlier in the year, you sort of referred to trying to just be the best team within a 60-mile radius.
Sure.
At that point, we're struggling. But did that add more playing them on this stage?
No, I mean, that was a statement that I said that held true, because at that time, and maybe this time too, there were some good teams. I mean, Belmont was making a move north. Thankfully, we caught Lipscomb early, because I thought Lipscomb played well at the end. I really thought they played well at the end. And I thought Middle was one of the best teams that we had seen, period. Forget that the fact that we played them on the midweek. So, yeah, I meant that. That was true to form, really. But, no, it doesn't mean anything now, just because it's a tournament. And we got to go, I don't know how many miles it is to Louisville to play them. So we'll see if we're the best team within that mileage right there.
Tim, given the circumstances going to the SEC tournament, how huge was Mike's performance that first game for your psyche and everything else?
Maybe the best big game performance I've seen pitched by anyone. I would say Price's performance against Austin Peay, because I thought Sean Kelly that night, anyone who was sitting in the stands to watch that one, I think that was one of the best games I've ever been a part of. Kelly's in the big leagues right now. Price is pitching tonight. But I thought Miners, for what the weight of it, Joe, and for what it meant, you know, it really, if we don't win that game, I just think that I've got a meeting right now with the kids, and we're cleaning out the lockers. I really do, because to come back would have been difficult in the situation that we were in. But he just threw it on his shoulders, and then, you know, he just never wanted to come out of the game either. I mean, it was like 4 days rest, screw it. He goes, this is what we train for. And he was adamant about how he was going to start and how he was going to finish. And, you know, you dream about coaching kids like that through your career who there's no wonderment about where their mindset is. None whatsoever. And you talk about wanting those kids, but they don't come around every day. The Mike Miners of the world aren't there every day. And the Prices of the world and the Brents of the world, they're not around all the time.
Who do you see as being the next guy, as far as that goes?
In our clubhouse? Number two. No question about it.
What was the decision Sunday to go with Cristiani?
Most seasoned, most polished, left-hander. Ideally, Dave, you would want a left-hander against him, but we didn't have left-handers that, A, had experience or were ready for that. Bierman's just coming off an injury. We were trying to get him small doses. The easy thing would be to say, yeah, Bierman pitched well against California. Why wouldn't you throw him against him? Well, he hadn't even pitched in a while. Garvin, you know, he's a freshman. You saw what you got last night. I mean, Garvin has been good in spots, but he's a young kid. And stick him out there in a championship game was a tough deal for him. Goodnow couldn't do it. We were going to go Hayes against Georgia, Cristiani against LSU. The reason being is Hayes was a better matchup against Georgia for their right-handed bats. Christiani, because of his movement and his experience, was a better matchup against them. Christiani pitched in a double elimination game against South Carolina last year, did okay. And there was a part of me, too, that just wanted him, like Johnny White, to succeed at that level. And you know what? We didn't lose because we didn't pitch well. I mean, we gave up 7 hits, 3 doubles, and we just didn't hit.
I think you talked about the importance of Meyer last year, if I remember right. You put him in the second game in the NCAA tournament
in
Tempe. Mm-hmm. Is it a tough decision? Is the matchups on whether he goes Friday night?
No decision. No decision. 1, 2, 3, it lines right up the way we would want it to. You know, Minor, Gray, Coffin. If you know, now the only thing that would concern me about Coffin is his stamina. And I told him he's got to be Lance Armstrong the next 3 days. You know, you got to get on a bike and you got to get those legs going. He's got to get that heart going, because if we had played that Arkansas game in typical Birmingham, Alabama heat, I don't know if he would have gets to the seventh. You know, I think it's a different story. That kid hadn't pitched like that. He threw 105, and I give Caleb a lot of credit, but he also went against a lineup that wasn't LSU. I mean, let's face facts. But I got to credit him, because he went out there and managed any type of pain that he had. And I think that's the difference. He now has the same pain that he had a month ago, but he's learning to manage it now. Now what he's got to do is he's got to get the heart rate going, and he's got to make sure his butt and his legs are in good shape, because if they're not, then he might have a harder time getting through the fifth. The turf, with this, just add another 15 degrees. That's all.
You mentioned Price earlier. You talked to him
today.
What's he saying? How's he feel right now?
I just told him. I said, I'm taking the team over to... Well, I told him first. I said, if we don't get in that tournament, I said, I'm going to flight out. Maggie and I will come see you. And I said, now we're in, because I didn't want to see you anyway. And I said, now we're taking the team to Sam's tonight to watch you. And he goes, his words were good. I'll deal for you. Typical David Price.
What time is it?
It's
on
5. Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Tim, you talked about Louisville having a pitcher's ballpark, but they're scoring runs and throws. How are they doing it?
They're strong. They're very strong. They've got some good hitters. Now, I thought their ballpark was big, at least when we played, maybe because the wind wasn't blowing out. I think where their one home run, they had their left fielder hit a home run against us. But it looked to me, anyway, it looked like it was decently sized. It's not South Carolina. It's not whatever park we played at, where you just look back and go, I thought that was a fly ball.
Do your pitchers approach things differently when they feel like maybe they can pitch the contact and not stress about having to strike hitters out and all those things?
Well, I think any pitcher does. I mean, look at the faces of Hamels. I mean, he breaks to share his bat, and you read his lips going, are you kidding me? I mean, I think any pitcher, whether it's big league, AAA, college, in their mind says, I'll tell you what, it changes their approach. And that's all you have to do. 87 home runs in Yankee Stadium? That's just like South Carolina. And I called Sarge Fly, because the ball just left like anything. And there's their new ballpark, ball takes out of there just as well. I mean, just as much. And then you throw in the trampoline.
Is Louisville similar to Hoover?
It's not as big, but it's closer to, I'd say a little bit closer to ours, really, I think. You know what, though, Joe? The turf really slows things down. That's the difference. When the ball's on the ground, it slows things down more than anything.